What up, fam? It's Alan Thomas, your Nubian scribe. If you missed last week's episode, I encourage you to check it out. It's about payday and title loan companies. My opinion, using them is akin to 21st century sharecropping. The brothers on that show presented pros and cons about them. I gotta go with the cons. I'm just saying. Before I bring in this episode's guest, let me remind you to follow me on Instagram at Nubian_scribe, and to subscribe to my show. Fam, if you like what you're hearing, tell others about the show via your social media platforms. Now, about this episode, it's celebrating Black love. Yeah, it still exists. And this episode's guest is Mrs. Siobhan Cook. She's a mother, wife, and truly an independent woman in her own right. Siobhan, welcome to the Overcomers. We still here.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks for agreeing to come on the show. And fam, appreciate that. And fam, as I said, this topic is about Black love. And contrary to public opinions, I believe that it's far from dead. Siobhan, what's your definition of Black love?
To me, Black love is like any other love, except it has the added component of having a shared experience of being Black in America.
Okay. And fam, my definition is a little bit different, but, you know, both, I believe, are very valid. Mine is putting in the work to make sure that our chosen partner knows and feels the support he or she needs to get back out there on that grind. Now, Siobhan, I'm gonna bring up some old shows. One in particular comes to mind is The Cosby Show. It displayed nationally Black love. And a lot of people thought that was fictitious. It didn't exist in real life. But it gave me a sense of pride each week when I watched that show. Do you believe that that show was representative of relationships in our community?
Absolutely. I grew up in the 80s, so I watched all the TV shows, and The Cosby Show showed me and my family and my family members. I can remember very much relating to the Cosbys, even though my mom and dad weren't doctors and lawyers.
Right. And I think that's important. That's why I wanted to have you on this show, because I want to let folks know that, you know, although we may be professionals, we came from very humble beginnings, and that doesn't mean that, you know, people in the hood per se or underserved communities can't experience or have that same support, love, as we defined it.
Definitely. Like the way that they would get together for birthday parties, or the way that the mom and the dad would handle situations, was very familiar to me.
Yeah. Now, was there, I mentioned the Cosby Show, was there an Afrocentric television show or movie that featured a Black family that made you feel a sense of pride on how that family was portrayed?
Okay, without standing the Cosby Show, I love Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Okay.
Like, I wanted to move to Philly and then to Bel-Air. Like, I wanted to experience what was going on there.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, I love Family Matters. I loved, this is not Black, but I felt like the Roseanne Barr show. I mean, I identify with the family shows that were going on at the time.
Now, what specifically stood out in those shows that made you feel a sense of pride watching them as a Black woman, as a Black person?
Okay. Well, to see Will Smith's family. I can't even remember their names back. Their TV names. Who are they?
Well, I think my listeners know who we're talking about. That was a long time ago. The Banks.
I mean, it made me be like, yes, that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly it's happening. It's on television.
Mm-hmm.
So to see a stay-at-home mom who was a part of the family dynamics that was not like Leave It to Beaver, really made me say, yeah, that's a way to be. That is one way to be.
Now, when you say one way to be, what is that one way?
Well, for me, I mean, there were several, not maybe not several, but there were a few options on television. You could be Roseanne Barr, who was a middle class worker or a lower class worker. You could be Mrs. Banks, Vivian. You could be Vivian. You could be Claire Huxtable. There were a couple of ways you could be that weren't necessarily Leave It to Beaver, where the mom really didn't have a lot of say in. I don't know what it what exactly, but she it seemed like she was a supporting cast. Whereas Claire and Roseanne and Vivian were all a part of like what's happening, the decisions that are being made. Their husbands took into account their feelings, their thoughts.
So,
And that
I didn't mean to cut you off.
go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
My bad. And that to me that resonated with me and my family. Like, yeah, my granddaddy took into account what my grandmother thought. My stepdad took into consideration what my mom thought. So it was kind of like, yeah, that makes more sense to me.
So, what I believe I hear you saying is it was kind of a teaching tool or something that you were exposed to or exposed you to say, hey, you know what? I can be a working mom, I can be a stay-at-home mom, I have these different options. I can define myself. And you had examples which were fictional, but in real life, did you apply those? I'm hearing that you,
Exactly.
okay.
No, what you're saying is exactly right. I had examples on television and I had examples in my real life. My mom, my aunt, my grandma, my cousins, these are women that were making relationship and individuality a thing.
Okay. Now, do you believe that the couples, the fictional couples that we talked about, do you think that they are the exception or the rule in our community?
I think the keyword is fictional. Now, everything was solved within 30 minutes to a two-part series. And even though my parents were great, I still saw struggle, and I still saw them work it out, and then I saw real life. So I did know the difference, and I think that was a blessing to me, for me to understand the difference between Claire Huxtable, the character, versus my mom's friend who actually was a doctor and her husband actually was an attorney, and I'm seeing them interact in real time.
And so their problems were that they were real, but they weren't solved in 30 minutes.
Was not solved in 30 minutes and it was delicate.
Now, you said it was diligent.
Delicate,
Delicate.
like, when you see some adults talking and it seems contentious, as a child, I was taught to stay out of it, but I also listened to hear, like, how they interacted and how they solved their problems. And it may not be solved in one dinner, but within years, I see that these people are still together and they're still loving each other.
What do you think was the key to their success, their longevity?
Ooh, I think it's a decision. It's a decision that you make to say, you know what? I love this person. And oh, anybody is going to get on my nerves at some point. And let me allow them to be themselves as they allow me to be myself and we work together. Yeah.
Oh, that's deep. That's what's up. So, I know you mentioned something about being a child growing up and listening to grown folks' conversation. I remember back in the day, you may know where I'm going. I remember back in the days that children should be seen and not heard.
Yes, sir.
So, but it seems like we need to rethink that because children do learn by watching what's in the house and realizing, hey, what I see on TV, that's not actually how things work.
I agree, and I think the balance that I'm trying to create is I see you and I hear you, but be respectful because you are still a child. So I want you to understand life, and I want you to know that there are going to be difficulties, and how you handle them is up to you. And I think what you're saying is really good, where we can start bringing children into the how-to process, how to handle, because I just saw I was not allowed to participate. And at this point, I am lenient with my kids where they can participate in arguments with me, like, Mom, I don't, but I don't want to wear this. Whereas when I was growing up, it doesn't matter what you want to wear, you wear that, you know? So I think there's a balance.
So it seems like there's the balance is when it comes to children, it's okay to ask questions, but you still have to do what I say because, I'm the one buying the food, the clothes, and putting a roof over your head.
Yes, and I don't want to have to explain the same thing too many times either.
Okay.
You
Okay.
know, when it comes to my child, like, I listen.
Well,
So
you from the old school.
I have some work. Exactly, I still have work to do. I'm a work in progress.
But you know what? That's keeping it real because a lot of people think they have to be perfect. And there's only one person, in my opinion, that walked this planet who was perfect, and that was Jesus Christ. So
Amen.
we're far from perfect. So I think you're keeping it real with my listeners by saying you are a work in progress because there's no book in raising kids.
True, very true. And it is one of the most conflicting things because this is actually flesh of your flesh. You know what I'm saying? So you look at this person differently and you have expectations of this person differently than you do another child. It's just, so it's definitely conflicting and no one is doing it absolutely perfect.
Now I'm gonna ask you. It may seem like a stupid question, but it's a point to it. So we're talking about there's not a book to raising children. When you stand at their altar, everybody's looking. And the pastor, minister, give you the vows and you repeat the vows. After the ceremony, does the pastor give you and your partner, did you all get a book that says, okay, this is how a relationship is supposed to work?
Not at all. We were fortunate to have counseling before we got married, and I think it is beneficial. And if you are involved in a church, please ask your church to, and are about to be married, please ask your church if they have that available. And what the pastors did was they talked to us about things that nobody talks to you about before you get married, and it was finance, communication, and sex. Those are the three components of marriage that are the most difficult. And if you can tackle those things in a productive way, you can be successful in your marriage.
That's good advice because a lot of people go into marriages with what they call glossy eyes. Is that the term that they
Yeah,
and so but
very much so.
yeah and I think it's important for people to if they hadn't had that discussion before they got married, a counselor, a marriage counselor can help them bring forth what's in the back of their mind because a lot of people they get married and hope that the person's going to change or see things their way, and it doesn't work that way.
Not at all. Person is the person.
Because everybody's different and everybody's human. They're like, well, okay, I want to do, I want to have 5 kids. And another person may say, I want no children, but they didn't have that conversation beforehand. So those are, I guess, are some of the things that a marriage counselor can help couples realize.
Just to think about, yeah, for sure.
So that's interesting. So those three topics, finance, sex, and what was the other one?
Communication.
Communication. Which of those three do you believe is more important in your relationship? And which of the three that the marriage counselors said should be the number one focus?
For me and Lewis, communication has been the most important, and the one that we actually are the worst at. And it's to be able to be open and honest with somebody all the time about everything, that is almost unsustainable if it's not a conscious effort.
Right.
So, you know, you enter into a marriage and you are in love. I mean, love. And then you are married and things happen where you're disappointed.
Yeah.
And your love starts to dull off.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, I love him, I love her, you know,
yeah.
instead of, oh my gosh, you know. And then how do you communicate your hurt feelings with that person? I was watching a TV show and the husband, he was an older man, said, you know, the bride that took my breath away now is the wife that holds my breath in terror.
Oh. Oh.
Exactly. And it struck me because when you are deeply in love with somebody, you have, like your children, you have a different standard for them.
Uh-huh.
And that standard is not always fair.
Yeah.
And so you have to really balance your mental when you interact with your spouse constantly.
So that's interesting. You mentioned mental. Throughout your life, have you found or learned that emotional needs are more important than financial or physical needs?
For me, they're intertwined, and I don't know if that's normal or not. But like for me, physical and emotional needs, and probably financial too. They work together. Like if any of those are out of balance, I'm out of balance.
Okay.
Like if I'm worried about paying rent, I'm not gonna be emotionally there for my spouse.
Right. That makes sense.
In a way that I should be, you know?
Yeah. That blew me away. That's interesting. That's a good point.
That's what happens when you've been married for almost 20 years. You start realizing stuff. Like, oh, no, I need this in this marriage. I don't need what I thought I wanted 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And those things are still valid. It's just not, it's not only that.
So relationship.
It's that and plus.
So it, what I'm hearing is that relationships do evolve, but it has to be fluid to allow for growth of each partner.
Yeah, totally, totally. If your partner is not growing, for me, I couldn't be with that person. Like, if you're still the same that you were, and your mentality and your expectations are the same when you're 20 and now you're 40, I couldn't. I don't. My 40-year-old self don't want to be with that 20-year-old.
Right. Now, I don't. Most men won't admit this, but we need emotional support just as women do. We just won't admit that out loud. So what's your thought on men not acknowledging that fact or expressing that need?
That's a good question. Maybe it's because my mom was a social worker. I realized that early, that men and women, we express differently. However, we have the same feelings. So for me, being a cheerleader is natural.
Okay.
But I didn't know how to be like nurturing for my husband because I wasn't shown that. I was shown it. I didn't pay attention to it.
Okay.
So it took Lewis telling me, I need to be told. And I need to be hugged and I need to be held too.
Right.
And he never said I need to be held, but for what other reason are we together doing this life for if it's not to embrace each other and to hold each other up and to lift each other up and to accept it?
As men, we won't acknowledge it, but we do need emotional support, but we don't acknowledge it or express that need.
For sure. Like, for what else would a man get married for, in my opinion? And I'm old school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, you know, I realize that. But a man doesn't just need sex.
Mm-hmm.
A man doesn't just need a paycheck.
Right.
A man needs somebody that's going to stand with them. And so do women, but it's kind of like, oh, duh, it's apparent that that's what women want.
Yeah.
But for a man, what other reason outside of procreating would there be, you know?
You know, something just came to mind. I think what men, how men articulate that emotional need is when we say something like this, I want a ride or die woman. And for those outside of family, that means a woman who's down with a man, whatever reason, whatever he did, whatever he, supposed to be doing, she down with him, whatever. So go ahead.
You want my thoughts on ride or die?
Yeah. 'Cause that's what men say. I mean, listen, me
Yeah, it's
me
so.
personally, I want to ride or die.
I hear you. I want to ride or die. I want a ride or die man. You
Yeah.
know what I'm saying? So I
Yeah.
totally get it. So I think ride or die is like, you know what? If my man is doing something that I know is wrong, I'm never gonna chastise him in front of nobody else. For me, I'm never gonna be like, that was wrong in front of people.
Right.
But if he ever opens up the opportunity for me to give my opinion, I'm gonna give it to him.
Right.
And I know some. I think when men say that, they mean I want a woman that's gonna accept me for everything that I am, even if I'm messing up. I'm cool with a woman doing that for you. I'm not gonna be that. I'm not gonna be a woman that's gonna be with you and you keep on messing up. Like,
Right.
nah, I'm not ride or die in that sense. But
Right.
if you're talking about you kill somebody, I hide the body, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
That's great.
Incriminating, ain't it? I'm a mess.
You are a true rabbi. Lou, don't leave her. You need to
Thank you.
She will hide a body for you.
I will hide that body. Don't play with me. We got to think about us. It's
Oh my goodness, that was funny. So, I conducted an informal survey amongst some black men in the community, asking them specifically why word in them streets is that black men aren't stepping up to sisters. When those sisters are doing their thing, professionally or socially. What's the word on the street? You're a woman. You're a black woman.
Okay, so I think, there's a thing, preference. Like, I have no problem with interracial marriages, relationships, hookups, none of that. It's when black men go out of their way to put down a black woman as a whole category, and I think that is like the inferior superior mindset. And what they are doing is basically saying, you know what, white people are superior, black people are inferior. And
Okay.
that goes for white men, black men, black women who don't date black people. It's just
Right.
like, oh, I don't date blacks. And for me, it is troubling in a way that it devalues my life.
Okay. Wow, okay.
And what I mean by that is, so now when a black person is killed, it's not as important. And it seems like a leap, but I've seen it in my very own children's school where a black woman was killed in front of hundreds of people, and the white guy barely got, did not even get a ticket for killing her in front of her children and hitting her children with his car as well as another student. And so to me, so when black men or black women say, I don't date black people, it's validating other people's devaluation of me and devaluation of women who have the same ancestry as me.
Wow, that's profound. That is very profound.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's real talk. So, statistically speaking, more black women go to college than black men. So, word on them streets is that sisters, they want a man with a degree.
Okay.
What's your thought on
Ooh.
that?
I could totally see that, and I think preference is preference. My aunt married a man who had lower education than she did, and some of her friends was like, "Why are you doing that? Why are you settling?" Da, 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 da. But the man with the degree, he was out on drugs. The man without the degree, he and for her family, like, so I'm saying, like, you cannot judge a book by his degrees or not degrees. You
Amen.
judge him by his character, what he is willing to bring to the table, not financially, not intellectually. And come to me, my uncle, who she married, he's one of the best uncles that I have. And I got a lot of great uncles, like the men in my family are tight. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm able to see black men the way I see them.
Now, how do you see them? How do you see black men?
Oh, I love black men. I think, gosh, ever since I was probably in middle school, I realized how hard it was for black men to live in a country that says, you know what, you're barely a person and not really deserving of respect. And so, and for me, it made me love them more for the sacrifices that they made for their families and their community. Yeah, so I mean, that's just who I was raised, and I think it's just in me. I think it's God-given to really love our struggle and our accomplishments and understanding that we're just humans just like everybody else.
You said something interesting, because I don't want to generalize, but a lot of people out there, 'cause brothers and sisters are incarcerated, and they're subject to the same institutional systemic racism, in the communities and outside the community. It's interesting you brought up that point that the black man does face a little bit more challenging roadblocks than the sisters out there. So do you think sisters should take that into consideration when a brother, comes home and like, it's, I didn't get that promotion, I didn't get this job, I'm trying, things out there just ain't working my way, but just, help me out and give me peace, give me some support. What's your thought on that? Or should a woman just like, you know what, you if this if the if our white neighbor out there, her husband can go out there and do what I need you to do, and you can't, then I'm out.
Yeah, so it doesn't, it's not in a vacuum, So if your man and you love him and it's your man, right? And he is having a hard time, you can only be there for him if you're really there for him. Like you can't muster up a fake, I don't think you can muster up a fake ride or die situation. I think that if your man is providing you with the things that you need, and you have to know yourself first. Like if you don't know what you need, you're not really going to be that much help to him. So if you are able to be the breadwinner and he's cool with that, because in some situations men aren't cool with the woman being the breadwinner, or men aren't cool with the woman being more popular in their circle. Like there's like so many variants in relationships, so you have to like hone in on your situation. Is this man bringing you more joy than pain? And the man has to say, is this woman bringing me more joy than pain?
Okay, that's you bringing some profound thought to this episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
So let me ask you this. I have some female friends out there, and they're having a hard time finding a guy who's on the same level as them, because their preference, and that's their right, they want somebody who's financially and academically on their level. I think they're missing out by not considering guys with no degrees, hard workers, and they make just as much as some of these guys with degrees. So what do you think about the women who say, I don't need a man?
Sis, if you don't need a man, you really don't. But if you say, I don't need a man, and you angry about it, you probably want a man. And it's okay to want a man. And it's okay to look outside of black men if that's what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's if like I have a friend, she's just like, I cannot date anybody but black men. I get that. Cool. That's your preference. But don't be mad at old girl who's like, you know what? I can't, I don't have the, I don't have, the pool is not open enough for me to only select black men because XYZ reasons. So for me, like, if you don't need a man, you really don't need a man. That's cool. That's where you are, and that's how God created you.
So let's go back to the ones who are angry when they say it. What do you think that anger comes from?
Ooh. I think being, I think everybody desires love, to be loved. Now, if that's from family or relationship, everybody desires to be loved. So if you want something and you don't see it as even possible, it will make me angry, you know, if I felt like there was impossibilities to something that it seems like anybody else can have. So that's, I think that disappointment is really the anger is the mask of disappointment.
Anger is the mask of disappointment. That's deep. That's profound.
I should go to university or something, huh?
You know what? You I'm you should write a relationship book. I kid you not. I kid you not. Self-publish. You need to, I mean, you're saying some insightful things. You need to write a book. Real
Okay.
talk. Real talk. You should consider that. So you mentioned earlier about men and women settling. Do you think sisters settle more than brothers?
I think women in general settle more than men because of society. Like, I think that here I go. It goes back to Adam and Eve. Once they sinned, God told them, your punishment, woman, you're gonna want a husband. And then Adam, your punishment is you're not gonna just be able to get food from any tree no more. You're gonna have to dig this ground. You're gonna have to work for food. And so what that does is that creates tension. That creates, I have to do something I don't want to do for the man. And the woman is, I have to compete with all these other elements, including work, including other women, including past hurts, you know, to make this man love me. So now we got discord. And so I think that like how God said, woman, you're gonna pine after your husband. You're gonna want after your husband. He didn't say it, and it doesn't seem like he meant that to be an easy thing. So now you got something where you're gonna have to want it, you're gonna have to desire it, and now it's hard to get. So do you settle or do you work harder? Or do you, and it's not just like, it's not physical labor, it's mental labor, it's emotional labor.
So do you think, going back to what you said, women being angry when they say, or the way they say, I don't need a man, angry tone, do you think it's because of what you just said? It's like they don't want to put in the work. I don't want to generalize, but you did bring up a
I
good
hear
point
you.
about what the Bible says, and it does say that.
And I think, and I just to be fair, when black men say I don't date black women because they're XYZ, that's anger too. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, 'cause I hear
for
brothers saying that, not to cut you off. I hear brothers saying that too. Like, I'm not gonna date no sisters. They hard on us. They're too demanding, and I think they discredit black women by generalizing. So yeah, they got the same anger issues as you say
It's the
women.
same, exactly. It's the same thing. What you don't want to do is put the work in. And that work is not easy. It's not easy to be vulnerable in a relationship. It's not easy to have somebody say, you're not the best at that. It's not, it's easy for you to get praise from people that really don't know you. It's harder to get genuine praise over and over again from somebody that's seeing you every day. They wake up with you. They go to sleep with you. They see you mess up. You've messed up in their lives. You've hurt them. And so, like, doing the work, and that's any relationship to me, doing the work to stay friends is difficult. And then if you already going into the situation with a negative attitude, you're not gonna put in the work.
Yeah, you're gonna be lazy about it. Both men and women are gonna be lazy.
Your expectation is this ain't gonna be right. Your expectation is she once she see me leave the toilet seat up, she's gonna blow up, you know? And
Yeah.
if she do fall in that toilet and get mad, you there she go,
Yeah.
you know?
You know, it's interesting. When I was younger, a married couple, they were married for 50 years at that time, and when he passed away, they had been married about 75 years, and he gave me some great advice. He said, going back to the toilet seat example, he said, when you ask somebody, to marry you, you're asking that person with their flaws, and you can't expect them to change because in their minds, they're saying, okay, he knows or she knows that I do this, and it doesn't bother them, because if it did, they wouldn't be asking me for this lifetime commitment. And he brought up, he used the teeth grinding. If you sitting at dinner and this person's grinding their teeth and it's driving you nuts, it's just going to exacerbate when you get married. And so if you can't take that, then don't ask that person for their hand in marriage, and don't expect them to change because it's unfair.
I love the older generation. I
Oh,
mean, because they
yeah,
got it.
they
They
do.
understood. They understood the assignment. The assignment is not to marry somebody that kisses your ass. The assignment is somebody that kisses your ass and also tells you, you need to wipe your ass. I'm
Yeah.
sorry, I'm such a cursor.
Well, luckily this is a R-rated show somewhat, but or it's R-rated today.
Okay, I have such a potty mouth. Right, I have such a potty mouth. I was raised by great men, but they cursed, and so do I. You
Gotta break that cycle.
gotta break the
You gotta
cycle.
break
I'ma
the
try.
cycle.
And
Oh,
if, yeah, I'll try.
and so a friend of mine, Jordan, she told me when black women settle, and it may be, white women, Latino women, but this show is about black people, so I'm using brothers and sisters.
Got you.
So when black women settle on a particular brother, it's mainly for security. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, so when a woman settles, it's her giving up, and that's okay. If she
Wow.
gives up, if she's happy, let her settle and let her be happy and live her life. Now, if she's settling and complaining to you, then you can say, you know what, that's not my problem. You chose.
Be that frank about it.
Be that person and let her know, listen, you're not gonna keep on coming over here talking to me about that.
Know what you was getting.
Exactly.
So,
So, yeah.
what's your thought on women's desires compared to what men look for in a potential mate? Because we talked about different things, but we talked about men ride or die, and women and their needs. What's your thought on that?
I think, we are definitely wired differently, and I think a woman wants security, and I think a man wants security too.
Security in what way, men?
For men, I think it is emotional. Like, you know what? This woman is not gonna tell my secrets. She's not gonna poke fun of my flaws or my vulnerabilities that
Oh.
she only knows about.
Right.
She's going to make me look good in front of my friends. She's going to present herself as mine, you know, like
Right.
this. She knows who she is and she's good with it.
Right.
And I think for a woman, I want the same thing. I want to be emotionally secure. I want to feel like I think for a woman though too, she does want to, and this might just be me, I want to feel taken care of. Emotionally, financially is good. It's not a requirement, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I was just raised that way.
Yeah.
Like, men are supposed to be XYZ,
Providers.
providers, you know? And a woman can provide for herself. That's fine. But for me, a man that don't work, don't eat.
Yeah, that's yeah, but that's a given, isn't it?
I thought so, but you know, and now I'm realizing that I've had friends that have been stay-at-home dads, so my definition of work is different now. So like if you're at home, a stay-at-home dad, and you're making sure the kids get bathed, you're making sure the kids eat, you're making sure the kids got clean clothes, you're taking the kids, you are working. You are working harder than I am because emotionally, I know people are giving you more slack for being a stay-at-home dad, you know?
You know, I think,
So,
not to cut you
go ahead,
off, go
my
ahead.
bad. No, you.
I think COVID made a lot of men realize that raising children is work. And when women, say that they need a break, or, can I go out? I'm going out with my girlfriends, and the guys come out from work like, wait a minute, what about dinner? I think they realize now that, hey, my wife is doing a lot more than what I thought she was doing.
Right? Like every day these people need to be fed.
Yeah.
Every day these people got several requests of you.
Right.
And it doesn't stop unless you take time for yourself. Like you have to either, if you're a planner, you plan it, and if you're not, hopefully you have a support system that you can say, okay, I need to have a brunch, so I need to make sure that somebody's watching our baby, you know, or toddler.
Interesting,
That kind of thing.
that same gentleman who gave me that advice about finding a mate and what to look for, he said, don't forget to date your wife. Because a lot of times people, they get caught up with kids, job, and other things. And but they forget about their spouse. They take the spouse for granted. Then when the kids are out the house, they're like, well, who are you? We hadn't had this intimate
Exactly.
conversation, or we don't know who we are. Because people change in 20, 30 years of marriage. And yeah, so I always keep that in mind. You got to continue to date your wife.
Yes, it is very important. When my relationship is going the best, it's because we're having consistent date nights. And at this point, our children, we have a child old enough to watch our other children. So it's like if we make sure we're taking the time to just be Lewis and Siobhan and enjoy each other's company outside of the house, it says something to both of us, you know. And yeah, date nights are, I wouldn't say it's key, but it's close to key.
Now, how important, realizing that, the church has always been the foundation of the black community, how important is faith in your relationship?
In my relationship, it waxes and wanes,
Okay.
and that's just the honest truth. At one point, I didn't believe in God, and Lewis did. And like, I was kind of an evangelical atheist, like just telling people, everybody but my grandma, that Jesus is a myth. And now I'm definitely back on the path of there has to be a God, and Jesus had to come down here and die for our sins, because there's no way this is sustainable, this world, you know? So it waxes and wanes for us as far as faith, but I think the fact that God, I know that God loves us, and he gives us grace, and he gives us mercy, and he gives us favor. That's why our marriage is still our marriage.
You brought up communication because you all communicate with each other, and I'm sure that you just didn't wake up one day and say, you know what, I have this, spiritual transformation. It was a, you guys discussed it, and it's a reason why you guys been married, 20 plus years. So that's communication seems to be the key.
Definitely. And understanding and listening. Listening. Listening and understanding your spouse, your partner, it makes a world of difference to them and to you.
So that's something that you said that I found to be also lacking in relationships, because a lot of people believe communicating is only talking. But you brought up a very good point. It also consists of listening, and I think listening is more important than talking. What's your thought?
For sure, for sure. Like, I like sports, a lot of sports, and one of the quotes that I love is, "The best smack talk is no smack talk." You watch your opponent, and you see their strengths, their weaknesses, their opportunities, and their threats, and then you react. And so, for me, when I'm on my best me self, I'm listening to my spouse, I'm listening to my kids and hearing what they're saying and trying to understand it way more than when I'm trying to be mama or trying to be the smartest one in the room. I'm way more effective when I'm listening.
Cool. And I think that's very good for people out there to hear. So before I give my closing thoughts, I want to thank you again for agreeing to come on the Overcomers. We Still Here.
Super fun. Thank you, Alan.
Hey, thank you. And trust me, folks, when she writes that book, I will let you know on the show.
Awesome.
Fam, I love love, and if that love comes from someone outside of family, then love who you love. I ain't hating on loving someone outside the family. Hell, I got people in my own family loving folks outside of our ethnic group, and they are wonderful and loving people who I also love for just being them. All I'm saying is that love is love, and that black love is strong as ever, as you just heard, and that it should be celebrated more often than it is, and most importantly, in our communities. Black love is and continues to be one love.